Well, hi, everybody, and welcome. How are you?
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Happy New Year.
Welcome and Happy New Year. I hope your holidays were great. Let's do a little catch-up. Want to do a brief win progress note, where you are now, and how things are going for you? Who wants to start?
Hi, Stephanie.
Please, go ahead.
Yeah, I just was excited to tell you guys that, so I give my clients annual homework. Like every December I give them what I call live work that we begin working on in January and it ends in December. And because of this course, I sort of done away with that and I replaced the roadmap work with it. And so pretty much all of my clients that I met with prior to the new year, we did roadmap work together. And there were so many tears and breakthroughs and even people that I've been coaching for 5 or 6 years, they all have emailed me and posted in our client group that, like, stuff came up that they thought that they didn't even know was there, and they realized what some of the roadblocks were, and they were just really excited about it. So all the wins, all progress. I'm really excited.
Well, that sounds great. Congratulations. Now, you
Thank
have
you.
Long-term clients, it sounds like, for several
I
years.
I do. I have some clients that my longest client has been with me. This will be her 6th year.
And how often
she
do you
only,
meet?
Her, the clients that I've been with long-term, I only meet with them like once a month. And one client I have long-term, she's been with me for 4 years. I meet with her every quarter. And she just
I
uses
see.
It kind of like a refresher.
Interesting. Well, that's great. Well, I'm glad it was helpful. That's interesting. What I'm going to do is announce at the next mentor group, which is the every quarter, the 1st of February, the first Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, like February, May, August, November, that I have worked out a thing with my graphics person and my web guy at no cost to anybody who wants to have a PDF of the workbook, whether it's New Life Story workbook, Roadmap for a New Money Story, New Wellness Story, or New Money Story Mentor workbook, that you can have that co-branded with your cover, with your name and firm on the cover and a new first page, and have that downloadable to clients wherever they are if you do like a web or a telephone group. It works great for a group to do assignments along with the 28-week protocol. So thanks for that progress note. That's great. Who else?
Thank you.
Is there anyone else? If not, this is Grace.
Grace,
I will
go ahead, please.
Share.
Okay, I had a very exciting time during the holidays. I spent it in New York City with my sons, and it was really a great time because I not only got to spend a lot of quality time with my boys, but I also got to give another talk about my project. So now I'm able to establish myself somewhat, you know, as a lecturer. I have made some connections there. And that's really good for me because then it prepares, it paves the way for the theoretical part of my dissertation, which I plan to self-publish. And so now it's like I have these four component, the as an author, as a public speaker, and a life coach, and also completion process practitioner. So now having established those other things, I can now really begin to make plans with how I'm going to add coaching to my life. So it appears that I am, you know, creating a following in New York as well. So that's really nice.
That's terrific. Congratulations. So you're bi-coastal. You are in California and
Southern California.
And you will also operate at times in New York for, like, workshops or presentations?
Yeah, exactly. And what you mentioned, Dave, that could really be – I have a lot of young people, being that my children are, you know, approaching 30 and early 30. My two boys are professional, and so they're tied up there with a bunch of artists and professionals. And it is just shaping up. I visited them 5 months ago, had a lecture, and a lot of people were interested. And then this time I set up another – I was able to hook up with another venue to lecture, and it looks like I'll be a regular there. And I might be able to use the same contact for life coaching and group coaching as well. So I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, congratulations. I think that's really terrific. Every time any of you do a presentation or a workshop or anything like that, always have in mind the end, what you want to do in terms of to offer someone to continue the relationship and continue the benefit with you. So if you have something in place, for example, like a wellness coaching group or a new life story coaching group or any kind of group that has, well, any of the modules, a new money story, new wellness story, relationship, any of the specific focuses of a group, you can do a group by teleconference. Every coaching group that I've done has been by teleconference. So it means that anybody anywhere in the world can participate. In my mastermind group, I have people in New Zealand, and we have Emmy here in Munich. So it allows a coming together of people wherever they are. Is Emmy with us today? Well, hi, when she gets the recording. I'll be talking a little bit about some of the things that I want to mention in terms of going forward, since this is our last formal seminar. Anne Marie, want to bring us up to date?
Sure. I honestly have used the time since our last session to really just relax a little bit. 2015 was a hectic year for me, between separating from my corporate job of 23 years, a divorce, unfortunately, managing two children through a divorce, getting a business off the ground, et cetera, et cetera. So I really used the 2.5 weeks to catch my breath. I cooked a lot. I cleaned a lot. I hosted some out-of-town family. I stepped back from my business a little bit and really just reflected and thought about what the next year is going to bring. So that's my up to speed between then and now.
That's a great progress note. I think it's a good time to do that. You know, I use some of these holidays to do an immersion in planning for the first quarter, as well as more generally for the entire year and to look at what's ahead. So I think it's a great time to do that, to really look at where we're going and to get that nailed and to do brainstorming around that. So I think it, as well as to relax, I think it's a great time
mm-hmm.
And a great use of your time.
Thank you.
Anybody want to
Dave, it's Grace again.
Yes.
I just want to follow up on what you were saying about teleseminar. I really, really would like to do that. So, that you know, I don't know how we can find out more about that. That's next with my agenda.
Now, when you say, I use terms very specifically. When you say teleseminar, I talk about.
What's the word you just used a little bit ago? Where you access people from all over the world?
Group done by teleconference.
Teleconference. That's what I meant.
Okay. All right. I'll be happy if this is something I'll be happy to send you information on. And this is something too I want to mention that for any of you at any point in the future, even if it's just for a single time to look at a challenging case or issue, I always maintain a priority for people I've trained for my mentor coaching schedule and at my lowest fee. So keep in mind, I've mentioned before, I use mentor coaches. If I have a situation that someone is really expert in, I will buy some of their time and talk about something I need to talk about. I've used three or four mentor coaches over time, and I want to have you be aware that I'm very available to you to jumpstart your practice, any aspects of what you'd like. It's a priority for me because I really want to see you be very successful. In terms of that, I want to mention some things that I'll reiterate these in an email, but this is something that I want to go over with you in case there are any questions. Now, you each have a copy also of the workbook in addition to the curriculum. So that's the workbook. That's one of the four workbooks that can be in PDF with your name on the cover so that you'll get an idea of what it's like for a client to work through it, and that's what's combined with the 28-week protocol that you could download when you registered. It's from that workbook, which is the full workbook, and you could use any part of that. I've used a part of that with a particular coaching group, like a wellness group. We use the first three modules, which is the roadmap, and the fourth module was the wellness and using it as a stimulus to talk about and to deal with things. Now, you're each going to get an email from me with some attachments. One is the license agreement as a MentorPath partner, and it talks about the co-branding. I only have a partnership arrangement, an affiliate arrangement, with people who have trained with me, who are licensed and specialty certified, because I know that you know the material and the brand is very sacred to me and that we protect it and we're each part of that brand, part of that professional community. I'll send you the logo if you want to use that. I'll put your name in the hopper for the mentor groups and you'll receive a notice for those. Your name and contact information can be on the registry of certified New Life Story coaches. I'll send that link to you so that you'll have that, your picture information, that sort of thing, specialty practice information for individual and corporate referrals. Also, the license and specialty certification will need to be continued. I want to offer the first quarter as my compliments. After that, it will be $45 a quarter, and that will be for the registry, for the mentor groups, for referrals, for the affiliate groups. I'm also going to offer to my group of coaches I've trained a complimentary, a bonus of admission if they elect, if you elect to do that, for either 6 or 7 of the teleseminar series that I'll do in this calendar year. So I'll send all that in an email. Also in the email, and you don't have to even take notes, this will all be in the email and it'll be spelled out. I'm going to send, just as a reminder, a sample press release. Now, you may want to change it up a great deal, but it's just a reminder to send that out to a local newspaper or regional newspaper if you have any contacts, and especially a business newspaper in the business journal that is in your closest town. Just to remember to do that as a press release. And it's just a little simple announcement, and often like the business journal will do a picture as well. So, any questions about any of that? I know I kind of did that in bullet form, but any questions at this point about any of that?
It's Stephanie. I just had a real quick question, which might seem kind of not smart, but the workbooks that you were talking about, that's the workbook we've been working out of for the last several weeks. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Now, you should have two parts of it. One is the curriculum that contains the workbook in gray. So the workbook is incorporated, but also a separate copy of the workbook itself to get an idea of what a client would have if you use a hard copy. Now, that same workbook can be co-branded with a minimum purchase initially of hard copy, or it can be done as a PDF with your own link to that, where you can purchase a copy for at your reduced rate and then charge retail for each coaching group. So you've immediately almost doubled the cost of the workbook initially before you ever start the group. So that is something that I want to do to facilitate your practices and boost your possibilities of success with the tools and that sort of thing, as well as your income, because I think I think you're on track to do very, very well as professionals, as much as you'd like to do.
I think that's probably the one that I'm, the separate workbook, I don't have that. The only thing that I have is
okay, when
the
you did your training
guide.
Before, I sent that, mm-hmm. and that's why I didn't resend it.
Oh, see, that stuff that I had before, that was lost in Atlanta in the storage. That was one of the things, that whole set that I paid for when I first came through CPA,
okay.
I have none of it. It was lost in storage.
Okay, I will... Let me address that separately.
Okay,
great. Any other questions or things about this, clarifications that would be helpful for us to talk about?
Dave, it's Anne-Marie.
Yeah.
I suspect this is something we'll want to talk about offline, but I have a corporate reimbursement available to me that will pay for this class, and there's a couple of things that I'll need to satisfy. So I'll need a certificate in particular or something that says I completed the class. Can I cover that separately with either you or maybe Bridget?
I'd like to mention that because I forgot to mention it. I am going to have my printer do a certificate like suitable for framing, a hard copy certificate for each of you, and I will send that to you.
Perfect.
I'm glad you mentioned
Perfect.
It. I'll be sending that to you. Now, you may need something. It takes sometimes 2 to 3 weeks to get to Europe, so I may give you the PDF of that as well as send it. So I can do both.
That would be great, and I can send it because unfortunately it takes the company several weeks as well to process.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Wonderful.
Well,
thank you.
I'll be happy. Let me know whatever you need from me, and I'll be happy to do that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions? Okay, and if there are any clarifications about anything, don't hesitate to send me an email. I'll be sending you an email with all of these things and the MentorPath Partners letter. So hopefully that will clarify some other things and spell it out. A link about how to get to the registry and fill it out. And my IT guy's name and email, because if there are any questions about anything, whether that's, you know, getting on the registry, updating that, you should be able to get to it, update it yourself. But if there are any questions about it, don't hesitate to contact him. He'll be very happy to help you. And there's a link for the license fee. If there are any questions about that, don't hesitate to contact him, because this is something that I really want to incorporate the entire MentorPath family and brand to be of your benefit and to be of significant service to you as you expand your practice and have this behind you and have the license and specialty certification behind you to help open some doors that you'll then be able to get through. So if you think of anything else, I'll save some time at the end. So let's talk about your new wellness story. Now, along with your money story, your wellness story may have the greatest impact on the quality of your life. So I wanted to give you an idea, for example, of the introduction. One of the things that I have available that would be available to you, one of my coaches just began this with a new life story wellness group, to play the 5 CDs for a part of each group, or, you know, play a part of a CD for a part of a group. It's a workbook and 5 CDs that's just on your new wellness story. So here's the introduction, just to give you an idea. I put together some information from research in psychology, healthcare, neuroscience, and strategic coaching to guide you to create a wellness story for yourself. Now, although we'll discuss application to wellness, you'll see that the principles are fundamental to all growth, change, and success. First, a disclaimer, my mission, my hope, and my stretch goal. The disclaimer: I don't offer advice about vitamins, supplements, how to exercise, or 1,700-calorie diets. My mission, much more fundamental, to change the way you think. Specifically, to be a catalyst for you to examine your wellness story, how you write it, and how you can write a new one. My hope, to guide you to look around the corner at the next years and decades of your life. What you do today can affect the quality and longevity of those tomorrows. My stretch goal, to have this make a positive and powerful difference for you for the rest of your life. This is what I believe. You don't need to be told again to exercise, to lose weight, to stop smoking. And if a better diet were the answer, the 273rd new one in the last 6 months would have been enough. I want to guide you as you write your own wellness story. When you want to go someplace new, rather than give you directions, I want to teach you to read a map. The essentials to write and live a new wellness story, rather than tell you what you should do or even ghostwrite it for you. It may be less immediately gratifying, but it's much more long-lasting and powerful because it's your story then. And here's an example of what happens when it's not your story. Of people who go to, and you've heard me talk about this before, I want to reiterate this now, that you've had some experience and we've gone through these seminars together. When people consult a physician, they're scared, they're in pain, they are motivated to seek the physician's expert counsel. When they get this recommendation from an expert, if that is, for example, a prescription, slightly less than 50% of people fill the prescription. Of those who fill the prescription, slightly less than 50% take it as directed. So even when someone consults an expert, when they're motivated by pain and being scared, and their life could depend on it, less than 1 in 4 go with the expert advice. So it has to be your story. The light on the dashboard says service engine now. Now, you can disconnect that so the light doesn't shine. It creates an artificial sense of satisfaction that nothing's needed. Another term is denial. Once you know something, though, you can never not know it again, because denial is still another form of engagement, even though it's invisible above ground. Making a physical symptom go away does the same thing. The symptom is a signal, a story in itself, a story needing and begging to be listened to and understood. Your body will simply find another way to bring you more information. And the roadmap system, the acronym for the seven steps, is the guide for a wellness story as well. Wellness is a mindset. This mindset gives ownership of a life story of wellness to the individual. With this ownership comes the responsibility and privilege that each thought, feeling, experience, and behavior is created each moment. Warren Buffett used the analogy of buying a car. To get a new car every few years, the approach would be really different than if you knew from the beginning you were going to choose one car and have it for the rest of your life. You'd probably do more research to know the best care for that car. You'd probably change the oil more frequently, do everything possible for maintenance and care. Knowing it would be the only car for the rest of your life, you'd take meticulous care of it. Your body is the only one you'll have for the rest of your life. Your body is irreplaceable. Everything about its care and maintenance matters. It reflects the cumulative care you take of it. Wellness integrates mind, body, and spirit with a balanced flow of energy. Notice the wellness system of energy in Module 10. It speaks to the impact of change in a different way. Keep in mind our discussion of the role of mind and brain in change as you review this and reflect on it. Wellness is an ongoing process of choices. It's never static. We never stay at the same place. So it has to be consistently assessed. Wellness is not something that you begin to plan at age 65 or even 50. Rather, every choice you make each day writes your wellness story. So this is about looking at this process and the choice architecture in an informed and systematic way. And I want to provide some context and stimulus for you to actively work on the exercises and quizzes in the workbook in this module for each of the seven steps. Our wellness success is the cumulative result of daily choices that we don't rationalize away or justify into oblivion. For example, you resolve to cut calories and maybe then grab a couple of peanut M&Ms from the candy bowl, not really thinking about the choice, because no single M&M, not even two or even five, cause anybody to have diabetes. But look at the impact. Take in 100 calories more per day than you burn. In 1 year, you gain 9 pounds. Now, same as in reverse. You take in 100 less calories. In 1 year, you lose 9 pounds. So, for a new wellness story, we're in a new revolution in the science of wellness and aging. We understand how our bodies work at the cellular level. We understand healthy aging. We can live healthier lives than anyone in all of biological time. Now, this has taken a while because health is biologically more complex than disease. So, I want to emphasize something from a colleague that I think can be really important to consider. The story we engage with our bodies is one of two possibilities. It's either decay or growth. Dr. Henry Lodge, Jr., he's an internist in New York City who's devoted 35 years of his professional life to wellness research. We became aware of each other's work as we shared a venue. We read each other's books. His writing and his work changed some of the things that I do. Here's what I want to share with you, just a component of it. And the book I'd recommend of his is Younger Next Year. And there's a companion book, Younger Next Year for Women. And I would highly recommend that to you. Dr. Lodge has found that 70% of aging is not really aging, but decay. You know, we assume ailments and deterioration are a normal part of growing old, and that we diminish activity and deteriorate physically as well as in quality of life. The change on the cellular level will then be decay. Inactivity and the absence of signals to grow result in body and brain decay. Now, listen to the antithesis of that. Another story is that both decay and functional aging are largely optional. This alternate story is growth. We send signals to our bodies of daily exercise, emotional meaning, good nutrition, and zest for living. Here's a quote from Henry Lodge in Younger Next Year. Steady exercise is a coded message to your body and your mind. In 20 years, failure to exercise 6 days a week will seem as self-destructive as smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day. So this new wellness story then includes a central storyline of exercise. No negotiations, no excuses, serious exercise. According to Lodge, after age 50, 6 days a week for the rest of your life is mandatory. He emphasizes that 4 of those 6 days needs to be serious aerobic exercise. Serious aerobic exercise 4 days a week the rest of your life. Biologically, your body only knows 2 things, growth or decay. Blood vessels go to every millimeter of your body, and each bathe cells in either repair or inflammation. Exercise heals wounded blood vessels, and it's the wounded blood vessels that kill you. Mortality falls remarkably with exercise. Now, of 3,000 people surveyed, 3 activities stood out above all others as ones that prompted procrastination. More than anything else, people will put off these 3 things. Exercise, starting a better nutritional program, and evaluating their retirement plan. Short-term desires often trump long-term goals and emotions rule. On the other hand, work duties, projects, and assignments are responded to routinely and promptly. So what does that mean then in terms of a mindset? This could suggest that a task such as exercise be treated with the same mindset as work. With work, you don't get up each day and debate about whether you'll go to work or not, or whether you'll take a few days off, or just skip it. You don't bargain with yourself to say, well, you know, I'm not going to go to work the rest of the week, but I'm going to really get with it starting next Tuesday. Work is there. You get up, you go to work, you don't debate it or consider yourself virtuous if you do decide to go to work. In school, later in work, you show up. It's an organizing force, a deeply etched default mode. Whatever constitutes work, even full-time parenting, exercise can be the same mindset. Now, for some, this can be like a new job. It's a full commitment, a serious commitment. It requires a plan, just like your business. Daily exercise, like work, should be right up there, trumped only by serious illness or family needs, the default story. Now, I had worked out 3 or 4 days a week when I read and collaborated with Lodge. I work out 6 days a week now, and it has made, even with working out 3 days a week or sometimes 4, that it's made a significant difference in my energy. And every day, I work into my schedule. I've had that in my schedule. I don't find time for it because you never find time for it. You have to schedule it. And every day, at a day that my biorhythms tell me, which is around 2 or 3 o'clock, that's when it works best for me to work out. So I came back from LA Fitness to sit down and get in state for working with you guys. That's what I do every afternoon. Now, as a coach, you're not a personal trainer. You're not a dietitian. You're not given directives. But you can make informed recommendations. And then you can listen to how your client takes information and makes choices to write the next chapter. And you're always free to challenge the choices or even the trail of logic leading to them and their fulfillment. Now, here's something that I think is really important. I want to reiterate this. We touched on this before. Two things above all others create neurogenesis, the making of new cells in your brain. One is enriched environment, the other is exercise. An enriched environment of intellectual and emotional stimulation creates more complex brain structure. The hippocampus is the part of the brain that's especially connected with creativity and memory. Mice from an enriched environment have a 15% increase in the number of their hippocampal cells. Physical exercise increased the number of cells in the hippocampus by almost 100%. And remember, the hippocampus is the site of creativity and memory. And these findings have been recently replicated in non-invasive human studies involving London taxicab drivers and University of Hamburg medical students. 15% by an enriched environment. That's what we do as coaches with our clients. That's what people do when they engage in creative and stimulating activities. 100% with exercise. Another finding, chronic stress goes the other direction. It impairs neurogenesis. It reduces the amount of cells, the size of the hippocampus. So I think this is something to look at and consider in terms of real measurable benefits and the subjective benefits of well-being, of energy, and knowing that we're doing something good long-term. Now, here are some assorted wellness variables that I want to just highlight. One is empathy heals. Patients whose doctors show concern recover from colds faster. This is from research at University of Wisconsin School of Medicine. Patients of doctors who had empathic resonance, concern about their patients, recovered more quickly than those whose physicians focused only on facts. There was a direct relationship between the physician's empathy level and the patient's level of IL-8, a chemical that summons the immune system to fight toxins. Another, faith and spirituality heals. The capacity for faith, the belief in something larger than ourselves, can be wired into the brain in the right hemisphere. We crave a sense of coherence and purpose. Stress and heart disease can be allayed by spiritual practices. This is from Duke University Medical. Those who prayed regularly had a lower blood pressure than those who do not. From Johns Hopkins, researchers found that attending religious services cut people's risk of death of heart disease and cancer. Other researchers have found that women to whom life's meaning and purpose is central have a larger number of cells that attack viruses and certain kinds of cancer cells. And finally, from Dartmouth, a predictor of survival in heart attack patients was their belief in faith and prayer. Now, psychology has traditionally studied disease, disorder, disruption, and only very recently has come to study positive things, the psychology of flow, the sense of wellness. More than 60% of adults feel that spirituality, more meaning rather than more money, would add value to their lives. Spirituality is the basic desire to find meaning and purpose in life. Organizations that have integrated spirituality in the workplace have found that it furthered their goals rather than distracted. One of the first things that my mentor coach did was took me, she happened to be here in the Houston area, she took me to three or four initial meetings, monthly meetings, of a group called Spirit Systems, which is about bringing spirituality into the workplace to get me initiated in looking at some aspects of that. So, let's look for a moment at framing effects and wellness. The framing effect can have significant implications in choice architecture and decision making for wellness. A number of studies, this isn't just an example, a number of studies were done in which people were given free buckets of popcorn before seeing a movie, and then the results were tallied based on the post-movie weight of the remaining popcorn. Each person was given a container so big they couldn't possibly finish it. But the results were really interesting. People with the largest buckets ate 53% more popcorn than people with the medium-sized bucket. The results were essentially the same in a number of situations across the country. Same conclusion. People eat more when they're given bigger proportions or a bigger container. Now, in addition, the vast majority of people were not aware of eating more if they had a larger size bucket. They would typically respond by saying things like, well, you know, I'm good at knowing when I'm full, and things like that don't trick me. This study shows that people don't need more knowledge or a healthier attitude about eating. You've heard me say a number of times, if information were enough, we'd all be thin, we'd eat mostly vegetables, we'd work out every day, and we'd have a lot of money saved up for the future. And there would be a number of librarians that would be billionaires. This study indicates that awareness of health hazards of eating don't really apply, since they denied eating more or less depending on the size of the container. So, since their attitudes, knowledge, and belief patterns don't seem to make a difference, the simple solution was use smaller buckets. So, think about the particular kind of unawareness combined with denials. Even when told the studies were set up this way, the participants didn't believe it because they believed they ate rationally. So, the implications can be fairly pervasive. We eat based on an external point of reference often, how much we're served. Someone else makes a decision about the quantity of food, and we essentially go along with it. So, does the restaurant decide how much you eat by the serving portion? When you serve yourself, do you decide on more because you're hungry before you eat, or just because you fill your plate as an automatic behavior pattern? The size of the container as well as the portion of the food both determine how much we eat, often more so than whether we're hungry or whether we make a judgment about what's in our best interest. So, for anyone to change, they have to start acting differently. A study by Robert Coghill suggested that the right dose of expectation can reduce pain equivalent to a medically active dose of morphine. Expect pain to decrease, and it does. Expect pain to increase, and it does, because the body generates then, based on that belief, the neurochemicals that respond to the belief. Another simple example, when you travel, if you expect to be jet-lagged, this will impact your experience. If instead you pay attention to where you are and use that as a point of reference and expect to be awake and fully functioning, this can have significant impact on your biological clock and subsequent biological rhythm. The reference point is where you are in time, where you are rather than what time it is at home. The reference point then is where you are and how you should feel in that context now, rather than how you would feel based on the old time or the old real time at home. So, don't keep a clock, as not my favorite grandmother, who I've quoted, but my other grandmother, don't keep a clock as she did on the real time. Grandma Kruger always knew what the real time was. Nobody was going to fool her with all this newfangled, you know, daylight saving time. She had her clock, her cuckoo clock. It came from Germany. She had that clock set on the real time, so she always knew what the real time was. Now, let's look at visualization of your healthy body. Have the right picture of yourself in your head. Visualization of the destination for your body and body image is at least as important as your other successes. here are some consideration for visualization goals having to do with your body self. Be sure it's your body, not somebody else's. Have the right picture of yourself in your head in current time. In other words, not your younger self 25 years ago. Write down your ideal body weight range. Write down your plan for exercise, weight, nutrition. Write down your affirmations. So let's look at state of mind, which also is to say the effects of stress, because stress is a particular state of mind. Stress is the primary result of not regulating states of mind and managing emotions. Stress contributes to 85% of all medical problems from the Cooper Wellness Program. 70 to 80% of physician visits are stress-related from the U.S. Public Health Survey and the U.N. International Labor Organization study. 52% of executives will die of diseases related to stress, Cooper Wellness Program. Stress is the number one reason behind sickness from work, G Publishing Survey. Stress undermines work productivity in 9 of 10 companies, the Industrial Society Survey. So let's look for a moment at state of mind patterns. Here's something I think you'll see in working with your clients, just because it's human nature. And you may see a pattern more quickly in a wellness story, perhaps than in other areas. A new pattern of behavior can occur for a sustained period of time. Then it can be subjugated to other, even opposing mindsets, most often a return to a comfort zone. In other words, somebody reverts to the old story, to the familiar. So consider these kind of patterns. An investor makes carefully planned trades to minimize risk and maximize reward, makes money consistently. As gains accrue, there's a relaxation of the criteria, departing from the principles, making unplanned trades, losses result, then returns to the pattern of success. Someone who's overweight plans a weight loss program and achieves an ideal body weight, 30 pounds lighter. When this target is reached, the nutritional plan is relaxed and the weight is gained back. Then the diet is reinstated. Now, the issue here that 95% of people who lose significant weight gain it back plus 1 to 2% is that, as we've talked before, they don't change their body image, their software that determines what they ultimately do. Another simple example. The independent business person carves out a set number of hours each work to do marketing. This plan, when it's really adhered to, results in successful business. Then, when somebody's full and doing well, it's relaxed, marketing efforts lapse, business wanes. Then, the marketing efforts are reinstated, so it becomes kind of a roller coaster. Now, in each of these situations, someone has specific, motivated attempts of self-control and a plan. When they lapse, then both have to be reinstated. So people behave in one way, in one mindset, then in a different mindset when the context changes. Usually the prompt for the return to the original is the shock of recognition. So that pattern can come quickly into attention and be addressed readily. But some patterns have extremely long time cycles, and recognition takes a much longer period of time to become aware, for someone to become aware. An example would be the aging process and the recognition of the need for exercise and nutrition that's crystallized by an event such as a heart attack. You know, every time I go work out, I see people who I know had this pattern and began working out sometime in their 60s, and are there at the threat of their physician. Remember that wellness patterns can be addressed in small ways during the day. So here's one example. To create a list to prompt wellness states of mind. A 3-minute break to listen to music, to decrease stress or just relax. Drs. Gordon Shaw and Francis Rauscher showed that undergraduates who listened to 10 minutes of a Mozart sonata performed better on cognitive tests. They wrote a book called The Mozart Effect. Make your first thoughts of the day positive and fulfilling. They set in motion how the day will transpire. Or, as we've talked before, ask better questions. Ask questions as soon as you wake up that prompt a state of mind that is optimum, that is ideal to really seize the day. Make your last thought at night before you go to sleep a positive, enhancing one. It sets in motion what your unconscious mind works on while you're asleep. Be aware of a especially fertile time to plant seeds, such as the beginning and ending of the day. If you're positive, it will grow. If you're a collector of injustices, your collection will grow. The quickest signal of what you're thinking about is what you're feeling. Feelings let you know whether you're on track or not. So, I want to offer some final thoughts on storytelling, genes, and alchemy. Story is the most positive way humans can communicate. It's been said that the secrets of great stories are the secrets of the mind, and that unlocking these secrets awakens the power of story in you. Work with that power, James Bonnet tells us, and you can steal fire from the gods. A story can transcend language, time, and culture. Our brains are wired to need and enjoy stories. And a story has both an emotional and cognitive influence on our beliefs and decisions. Stories motivate and persuade. They appeal to our emotional capacity for empathy. Remember from the beginning of our first session when I suggested, write this question down. What's my story? Think about that. Review what you wrote. Think about your story now and what you know of it. It makes you who you are. Remember I suggested summarize your plot in one sentence. Bullet your major storylines, not your bio, your title, your role, your story. Review your answers. See what you'd revise after just our 12 seminars together. Now, I'd suggest to add this question. What's my wellness story? Melanie Green, professor at UNC Chapel Hill, found that people who perform better on tests of empathy become more easily transported by a story. This empathic ability to put ourselves in another's shoes means we can discern intent, motivation, awareness, and mental states of others. Children develop mentalization, the theory of mind, and the ability to think about thinking around age 5. Once we develop a theory of mind, we can imagine minds in others and make stories of things. This means that we attribute intentions and motivations to people and can understand them, basically, and to things in the world around us. Stories are a vital tool for learning as well as for developing relationships. We keep tabs on people, understand them, and spread information by storytelling. A story makes a comprehensive and complete narrative for both mind and brain. The desire to create a completeness and closure by both mind and brain is embraced in a story. We practice social skills and promote social cohesion by stories. A study by Jonathan Gottschall at Washington and Jefferson College found that stories of people around the world possess universal themes that reflect a common underlying biology. The power of story is emphasized by the finding that people more readily accept ideas when their minds are in a story mode versus an analytical mindset. Now, we've talked about the wellness story from perspectives of cells, mind, brain, and story. Now a final word about genes. Epigenetics is the study of the ways in which our experiences change the ways genes operate. Our experiences program how active our genes will be. There's a difference between having a gene, for example, and that gene expressing its signature proteins to have a particular effect. Of our more than 30,000 genes, some express themselves constantly, some only at a particular time in life, some only for a certain organ of the body, and some only at certain behavioral or emotional prompts. We now know that our genes and our environment, including our behavior, are interdependent, reliant on one another. What we do as well as what we eat will turn genes on or turn them off. Genes cannot operate independently of their environment, internal and external. Our nutrition, our emotions, and our social interactions all interact to turn genes on and off. For example, when you eat broccoli, broccoli contains a form of B6, which prompts a specific enzyme to produce the amino acid L-tryptophan, which contributes to synthesize dopamine. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that, among other things, stabilizes mood. So too now can current meaningful interactions, small, caring, nurturing acts, have a powerful and lasting impact throughout and including adulthood. As alchemists, we help people see possibility to engage in a transformative process. So, you are only one choice away to change your life. Each moment, that continues to be true. The residual outcome of your past thoughts, feelings, and actions are not who you are. They are not necessarily your true story. What you have done with your body and eating may not be your true body self. Who you are is what you're creating this moment. You can begin to align your relationship with everything from your money to yourself and your body by authentic conversation internally and externally. Wealth, happiness, joy, scarcity, fear, worry, these are all mindsets. Write your genuine life story. Your informed wellness story. Write the truest story possible. A small boy went up to Walt Disney and asked him how he could be like him when he grew up. Disney took this very seriously, and he paused. And he was thinking. He held up a finger to the little boy to let him know that he was thinking and to hold on. Finally, Disney said four words. Think, believe, dream, dare. Now, this is kind of an epilogue. I want to spend just a moment or two asking you questions just to reflect on. What if all you did in this course was to master effectiveness to make changes? What if all you did in this course was to put yourself in a state that you're better at engaging people? What if all you did in this course was to learn more about your own story, or to learn more about the potential of pleasure seeking and avoiding pain? Seeking pleasure and avoiding pain. What if all you did was learn to help someone be more authentic? What if all you did was to change beliefs into changes that last? What if all you did was learn to manage a state? What if all you did was to learn how to recognize belief systems, or to explore your own mind, or to develop a greater informed sense of caring? What if you decide to seize your professional story and develop a practice and a presence of massive impact and success? To sensitize yourself to the gifts and skills you already have, the power of influence to increase the quality of your life. What if you decide to recognize that these skills can make a difference for you for the rest of your life and for others who you'll impact in your lifetime? What if you decide to know that your ideas will not die with you or be limited to your direct contact, that you will leave your mark, your legacy? What if you decide to acknowledge that each new decision may affect the quality of your life? If you get any of these things, and if you commit to a level of excellence to increase the quality of your life, your practice, and your clients. Then for me, this training has been a tremendous success. And for you, I hope this is the beginning of new possibilities. You each have shared my passion to help extraordinary people make enduring contributions. I'm talking to four, and your reach is exponential. I feel privileged to spend this time with you. I hope you'll let me know how it's affected you in any way at any time. And I want to thank you for the honor of learning with you. I hope I've lived into my mission to inspire and guide you to achieve your unique, most empowered life and professional stories. That's all I got. I'm interested in thoughts or questions or discussion. We have a bit of time now for whatever you'd like to discuss.
I think you saved your best for last.
Well, thank you. Well, that was just a summary of what I hope has been our experience. So it's coming together. It's been a process that we've all engaged in, a journey, and this, you know, just a way of putting it together, you know, moves it to a different level to, you know, have a mastery of it so that you can take it and do whatever you decide to do with this and with your practice. And I'll be
I really resonated with this session, Dave. It's great. I think this is such a good specialty for me because it incorporates everything that I'm passionate about. Healthy lifestyle, you know, I've been a vegan. Exercise, I've been, you know, exercising regularly these several years. Spirituality, meditation, mythologies, helping people reach their highest and best. It's like, this is for me, you know. So, and I really resonate with all the questions that you asked there in the last few minutes. So I think I'm going to develop this particular section for my practice.
Uh-huh. Well, great. Great. I think it's important to know and embrace a purpose and a passion and to decide what that's going to look like for each of you. And I'll be very eager to hear what each of you do, and I hope you'll keep in mind that I'll be very eager to help you in whatever way possible going forward. Thanks, Grace. Other thoughts or questions or things you'd like to talk about?
Dave, I just wanted to say that I personally, I'll speak for myself, feel that you did succeed in your mission. This class really provided so many interesting insights for me and different ways to look at and challenge, maybe that's a different way to challenge existing beliefs and assumptions, whether it be in myself. And it's had profound changes in me over the last few months as I've finalized a divorce. I'll throw that out there. But also as I speak with clients and I hear what holds them back from some of their goals and aspirations and this idea of letting go and writing a new story and the roadmap process to do so has been very enlightening for me.
Well, thank you. And it's a huge, what you've been going through is a huge transition personally and professionally. So the
training has been very timely.
Right. Well, excellent. Excellent. If I have left you each with some confusion and some questions, then my mission is complete. to perturbate closed systems is what we do as coaches. Thanks for sharing that. Other thoughts? Questions?
Hi, David, Stephanie. I just wanted to take a quick minute to thank you for the class and just to let you know that your belief in me 6 years ago when you first trained me is what set me on the path to where I am today. And prior to taking this class, I had lost some of that, I think, belief in myself. I started feeling like I should be more successful than this. Something's not right. I need to fix that. And this course has helped to put me back on what I call a passion path. So I appreciate all the seeds that you planted into me over these last 6 years and within this course itself. So thank you for what you do.
Well, great. Thank you. And we ain't done with any of you. So that's great. Thanks. Anything else any of you would like to discuss? Anything that we that has come up, or you know, that there are lingering questions about, or anything that you'd like to do in these final few minutes that would be of help? Well, if not, thank you again. It's been a privilege working with you and putting together some additional thoughts and responding and interacting with each of you. And I know we'll continue. Our first post-training mentor group will be in less than a month. I'll keep you all apprised of that, and let me know how I can be of help to you in your practices and in whatever way. I welcome that. And thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. Bye now. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye, everybody.